Hello, Guardians, and welcome to episode 81 of Destiny Massive Breakdowns. I'm your host, Kit Kutcha, coming to you with an episode that I've been excited about recording for a couple of weeks now, ever since we really started to get it on the books. As you know, a reminder, Mercury's still off on summer vacation, hanging out with the Bungie boys, drinking beer in Seattle, and having a great time, learning all the secrets that he'll never tell us. So to fill the void in all our lives right now, I have brought in two phenomenal Guardians to give us some insight into a more competitive PvP view on the Forsaken weapon system, as well as on the state of the game right now. And why don't you guys go ahead and say hi and introduce yourselves?
I'll go ahead. Cool guy, go first.
I'm cool guy. I'm mainly an Xbox player. PlayStation every now and then. Cammy's going to be your PC guy. But yeah, I do content creation. Been doing it for about 3 or 4 years now, only on Destiny.
Phenomenal, man. Really happy to have you on the show. You've done a lot of good work on YouTube. I can't say I've watched every
That's
video
all right.
that you've put out, but I've definitely watched a number of them, and I've enjoyed them.
Appreciate that.
But you mentioned... You mentioned our other guest. We're doing a rare three-person episode here. So, Cammy, say hi.
Hi, I'm Cammy. I'm playing mostly PC now. I started console initially. And lately, I've just been making build videos and talking while shooting. Pretty much it.
You know, nothing wrong with talking while shooting. I think we all enjoy a bit of that. So, I'm hoping that... The majority of our listeners know who you guys are. They should if they don't. But actually, a big part of the reason that I reached out is, you know, when we found out, you know, confirmed Mercules was going to be taking this trip to Bungie HQ, I didn't want to go on a 3-month hiatus. I knew I wasn't going to be able to keep up without him doing the other half of the work here, but I wanted to get some new voices onto this show, and so I reached out to our patrons and our listeners with a survey and said, hey, who would you want to hear on Massive Breakdowns? And you guys both came up several times, so I'm really, really excited that it worked out. I know we've got a lot of people looking forward to hearing from you. As Twitter bears out, a number of people excited to ask some questions today. So thanks again for coming on the show. Let's dive into it here. I want to save some of the fan questions for more toward the end of the episode. So the first thing I want to focus on is what everybody, I think, is pretty hyped about right now, and that is the upcoming weapon system changes in Forsaken. I guess we'll call it the 3-shotgun system. I think Hamrick pretty much sealed that into everybody's brains. So I know I've talked about it on the show before. I know everybody knows I'm pretty excited to see how it pans out. But to be honest, from a PvP perspective, that I've never been the lead commentator on that end of things on this show, and I'm really interested to have you guys share some thoughts on what you think it's going to do to the sandbox and to the meta. I know a lot of people, especially on console, are very comfortable with their V-Wings and their G-Lances right now. But what do you guys see? What do you guys see changing the most due to this new weapon system? And what do you think are going to be the biggest questions that are going to need to be answered? Let's go cool guy first, and then Cammy, you chime in after that.
Sure. I think it's going to be very interesting, right? I think there's going to be a number of different meta loadouts. Like, because we were talking about it a little bit earlier, as far as it really depends on where they slot, right? What they make kinetic, sure. Kinetic, what they make energy, what they allow to be a power weapon, right? So there's my favorite right now are the 90 RPM launchers, the single shot grenade launchers, right? If those are an energy, I can just find myself running those with a hand cannon, right? There's sniper hand cannon. We talk about the three shotgun system, but one, like, two of those aren't even really going to have ammo a lot, right? Your, quote, energy and your heavy. So I'm not really worried about that. But say they do a really good sniper rifle, right? Or a good shotgun in the energy category. That's going to take somebody's Graviton Lance out. Or say they move something that was energy into kinetic. There's so much they could do. But I think it's going to be really good for the game, and I think that you can't underestimate what people are going to do, right? There's going to be a lot of people going to be up in your face with a shotgun and a hand cannon. There's going to be a lot of people in the back, right, with a sniper and a hand cannon, or a sniper and, let's say, even a scout, right? Say they're that passive, right? There's so many different things that could go down. Regardless, I'm really excited for it. I'm also wondering what they're going to do about the green bricks, right? The energy ammo, quote, the special ammo. Are those going to be new locations on maps? Is everybody going to get it? There's just a lot of questions and a lot of answers we can try to find today. So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, definitely some big questions left unanswered so far. The green bricks has been something I've really been wondering about. And
how, you know, as, how much ammo they're going to give, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, what's the, how are they going to be splitting that up? You know, like, say, you know, like you mentioned, the say you're running a sniper and a scout. The that's the classic Mercules play.
Boom.
That's exactly what he loves to do. we can make fun of him because he's not here. So, yeah, like, how does that get divided up? You know, say you also want to run a rocket launcher in your power slot, because why not?
Yeah.
You know, free kills are always free. So. How do they split that up? That's going to have a huge impact on balance. And I really feel like the ammo question is the one I think that's going to make or break the system. But you're right about slots. Slots is a big question too.
I think ammo is the giant question, the elephant in the room. It's going to take a genius to build a very smart system, because I anticipate it's either going to snowball, where somebody with special power ammo will continue to have it while the other person doesn't. Or it's going to be like D1 year 3, and you're going to have to wait, let's just say, 15 seconds minimum at the start of every spawn, because you need special ammo to compete. You need special ammo to then get power ammo to then hold the objective and so forth. And then if power ammo, special ammo is that prevalent, what's the point of a primary? Might lead to a TTK decrease just to compete. It's my predictions, at least. It's still going to bring some fun, definitely spice up the game. Like, I can imagine tractor cannon and a bow, tractor cannon somebody, shoot a bow out of the air, wombo combo, just, you know, that kind of thing.
I gotta say, that sounds awesome. Tractor cannon was like the one gun that was holding out on me. I got it last week, finally.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's super fun. I'm just bouncing people off of all kinds of walls now, and it's
and the suppression works properly on it. Like, it does. Works. It works instant and as intended. Hashtag buff tether.
I'm behind that too. Yeah, we mentioned the scout sniper. That was a thing in Destiny 1.
Yeah,
you would body them with the scout, right? And it doesn't take off that much health, so they peak again, and then you just body shot them with the sniper and left.
So
run away.
Another thing to bring up is, you can't really underestimate the meta now. I mean, Graviton Lance, Antiope, Vigilant Swing, Lasso, whatever it is. Because if somebody isn't equipped for CQC, some of these maps will take Javelin, right? Let's just, you know, put that in our heads. We'll take Javelin. Somebody's running hand cannon, sniper. If you can get up in their face, there's enough cover on these maps where you can move around pretty freely, I think. Whether you're flanking or whatnot. But if somebody isn't equipped, right, and you see that in a comp setting, or you see that in a trial setting, that still is going to leave, it's still going to be a great combination, Graviton Lance, Antiope, right?
Yeah, you've got your ranges covered there, and you've got multiple options, so you can, you know, I think this is something that I've heard both you guys talk about, having the right weapon out for the right encounter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
You know, and those cover a lot of ranges. Graviton Lance especially, really, the lack of drop-off on the black hole shot.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. What terrifies me, though, on the PC side is the sniper rifle. Yeah. I've seen some people rarely miss shots and have very, very fast target acquisition to the point where they're probably going to shoot you first and shoot you accurately. And even if it's not a headshot, if it's a body shot, I mean, a cleanup with the hand cannon, even from across the map, should do the job. And I just hope that that's not the only thing I see in Crucible until a TTK decrease.
I just kind of had a flashback to Counter-Strike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the op.
It gave me a little bit of a chill, actually. That was a... Man, that was a different game.
It could work out to platform-specific, right? So maybe on PC, it is a sniper-first type deal, right? Maybe... And then on console, maybe everybody wants to run shotguns, right? We just don't know.
Yeah. I think that almost circles it back to the question of what they're going to do with slots. Because from everything I've heard, it sounds like they're going to be following kind of the same concept they have now, where you've got kinetic hand cannons and energy hand cannons, but they aren't the same hand cannons. They're specifically designed for those slots.
Yes.
And so you've got, you know, by all indications, you're going to have kinetic shotguns and energy shotguns, or kinetic snipers and energy snipers, and they're not going to swap between slots. There's no indication I've seen that there'll be any kind of swapping, unless I've missed something. You know, tell me if I have. But I'm kind of wondering if we're going to see some new classes of weapons. You know, if the kinetic snipers are all going to be like bolt action. If it's going to be the new No Land Beyond class.
Yeah,
that's a thought.
That is
a way to kind of control it, so you're not just, you know, bodying people endlessly because you can. It's definitely a question. I'm kind of curious to see where they go with that.
In my mind, I think certain weapons should be power, right? So they are going to keep certain... Like, the Acris, I think, obviously is going to stay as the exotic, quote, heavy power, right? But there's a couple archetypes, man. Like, your main ingredients. Like, honestly, I hope that fusion rifles stay as a power because they're very strong, in my opinion. But then again, if everybody has shotguns, who knows? But, like, your full-auto shotguns, I hope that is going to be one that takes a brick, right? Because those are really strong. Your Hawthorns, right? Main ingredient, if that is in a category, it's one that takes brick. It's not like a kinetic type deal, right?
Sure.
I don't know. What do you think, Cam?
I'm with you there. Certain special weapons, I guess in this definition, are going to be way more powerful than others, to the point where as long as you're using one of those, you're probably going to get the first kill, and depending on the ammo system, could lead to a snowball, or, you know, just make them power. So everyone's on a more level playing field from the start.
So one question I wanted to ask, kind of thinking about the Forsaken system, you guys were talking before we started recording about some different comp strategies and loadouts, and one thing that I've seen a lot more people doing is rolling with Fighting Lion, speaking of what's essentially a, you know, a power weapon archetype in a special slot. So I'm kind of curious, you know, does the fact that we're starting to see that weapon that I guess for a long time I think was kind of not even considered, but pretty much was just like a very gimmicky gun, actually getting some real use and becoming effective. You know, what does that tell us about the Forsaken system? And I guess that just that, you know, what does that tell us about what's coming here?
I think you used the best tool for the job. And since the beginning, Fighting Lion did its job, which is hit people around cover and have an air accuracy consistent. So it's a grenade launcher. It shoots the same in the air or on the ground.
Right.
It originally hit 57 damage, and it splashed around 30 comfortably, but that's still enough damage to change the TTK on some guns. You're shooting them in cover, safely. Mm-hmm. You pop out, you have a duel, you have more health, takes less shots for you to kill them. You're probably going to win. Might lead to a kill clip. It'll auto-load your Lion. It's a very synergistic playstyle. And then it keeps getting buffed and buffed and buffed. And even in its inception, when it was a community meme, a gimmick weapon, a joke, it was still banned in tournament, mostly because it was very, very annoying. You would just get tagged around cover. There was no worm husk back then. And the Fighting Lion rally barricade just keeps spamming shots in competitive. And you might eliminate someone really early when they're backing up into cover, and the entire team gets a little angry about that. and now it's exponentially worse. Hits 100 damage now. That's half their health. Very, very, yeah. very forgiving splash radius.
What's so nice about Fighting Lion? I'll ask you guys a question. If you go into comp right now, what's the team that you see the most? Your enemy team. What subclass are they using?
Arc Strider.
With the
Worm Husk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what's nice about the Fighting Lion is, all right, so when I'm playing Fighting Lion or when I'm playing against those Arc Striders, the main goal is to get them to waste that shade, right?
Yes.
You got to get that, quote, second life out of the way. So if you can pop him for 100, you see him shade, that's a good thing. I don't want that happening mid-gunfight. I don't want that happening if he has advantage on cover. That's the way I've mostly been using it. We've actually had a couple people run Fighting Lion. If we, you know, if we're playing and we see these teams, I would say we see them 80% of the time, these Worm Husk Arc Striders. But we'll do two of them, and that's, you know, that's their control, right? That's the detail. That's what they're doing. They're throwing those grenades down, trying to get them to waste that shade.
I mean, another strategy is, this is what I call timers in competitive. It's thinking of how from the initial spawn, what's the fastest somebody can get to a certain point. And with the Lion, if you shoot it across the map in like a predictable area at the timer where you expect somebody to be, you're going to see damage if they're there, and if they're not there, you're not going to see damage. So that shot alone tells you and your team what to do. Because if you get a tag, you know somebody's there. That's maybe a good place to get a pick. And if they're not there, you go to the opposite side and collapse on somebody. So it's free info.
Somebody's
on a no radar playlist.
That's a fantastic tip right there. That's something I'm sure a lot of people don't even think about, and 100% aren't doing.
It has remote detonation, so you might say, "Well, doesn't that give your position away?" It does, but if you're shooting it from the initial side of your spawn to their initial side, well, you can just remote detonate.
You know, if they're
in a different side of the map,
that's all that really matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's something I think that gets easier for people to think about and take advantage of. Now that we have private matches, you can actually, if you're not sure how long it takes somebody to get somewhere, I mean, on most of these maps, you know where people are going to run initially.
Yes.
That's super predictable, but without the radar, you can't see where they're going to be. So if you go into a private match by yourself, you can just go
learn the angles exactly
on the Arc Strider Hunter, and then you've got 70% of your opponents, and you can time exactly how long it takes them. So, and the nice thing, of course, is that sprint is still universal.
Yeah, this is why I just like Titan Skating. Not to rehash it, but Titan Skating ruins the timers.
I don't know. I don't really see people.
I can't scroll wheel on the Xbox, can we?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's still a hot debate on my chats and Twitch and whatever.
While we're on it, I mean, that timing, that's such a good thing. I mean, think about Shores of Time, right?
No pun intended. No
pun intended. But like every single map, there's, we'll say, CNA spawn. It's like, when somebody has C-spawn, and you know that they're spawning there, there are two main lanes that they're looking at. They're looking at mid-hallway, they're looking outside B. And there's probably somebody out looking C-cave, right? Mm-hmm. It's, as a player on the enemy team, knowing, because a lot of players, they do the same things over and over, teams do the same things over and over, it's finding the crease into that, right? So you can either have a team fight right there at B, or you can position yourself with your timing, with the rotations, when you get a pick, know that they're probably going to spawn in back C, so where do you need to go, right?
Does that make sense? I understand what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Elevating your game, that's just one of the things, you know, it's game sense, essentially.
It is.
And Shores of Time is a very hard map to flip spawns. I don't know. For me, historically, it's been very difficult. But when you're rotating around the map, like Cammy was saying, like, say you shoot your Fighting Lion, say he's not at that lane, you know generally where they are. You can get your team shot going. I don't know.
I think it leads to good communication on a team if you can just provide that info immediately.
Especially with no radar.
Especially with no radar, exactly.
Yeah. Now, speaking of radar, while we're on this, let's talk a little bit. I think we can establish that with Forsaken, there's a lot of possibility But there's still a lot of really unanswered questions, and we can circle back to it if you guys have more you want to say. But I want to ask you some things about the current state of the game, because we still have, two, 3 months here where the game's going to be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't going to see, I assume anyway, then as far as I've seen, we aren't going to see any major changes before September. And, speaking of Radar, I think the no Radar change in competitive, I heard some controversy from people in various channels on that. Some people love it, some people hate it. Where do you guys fall on the Radar spectrum? Do you hope that we see that change in September? And if so, what would the solution be?
I guess I'll start, since I'm more on the I prefer no Radar. But that being said, I'll acknowledge that Bungie can do a better job of visual and sound cues to make your job better of getting information and giving that to your teammates.
I think I saw a tweet from you recently listing out cues.
Yeah, I want to help my subscribers any way I can, tell them what tips at least got me through. And a lot of people took that as, here's an opportunity to make fun of him because he likes no Radar. No, I'm just trying to help.
Yeah.
And while I like no Radar, I do think they can do a better job, and that's what I want to get across. I like no Radar because if you pay attention, you've earned information, you give that to your teammates, the better team will probably win. It opens up flank opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I think with no Radar, the better team typically wins. You could say the same about Radar, but it gives you free information. They always know where you are. It's a different skill set. Not going to say it's unskilled, but I just prefer the skill set of no Radar, which is listening.
Yeah, I think the sound cues could be better. I played a lot of Halo, and when you're playing like the MLG playlist, you could literally hear the rocket spawn. You can hear them; they'll drop and make a sound, right? You can hear people. You can hear footsteps. I think there's just two extremes. That the Radar we've always had in Destiny is the meters. It's just way too long. Because the Destiny 1 was very hard to flank with that Radar. And if there's none, I've found that a lot of people just don't like the no Radar. I think the compromise is a short Radar. I've always advocated for a short Radar, 12 to 15. Enough to know that they're camping around a corner, but enough to where you can still flank. I think for the Destiny community, I just think they're always used to Radar, man. I think that's what it really boils down to. And some of these maps... let's just use Shores of Time, right? When somebody has C-spawn, they can get a lot of angles on you. I found that there's, especially on console, there's a lot more camping, there's a lot more lances in the back, if that makes sense. But you have to play to that. You have to play around that. And a lot of people don't take that into consideration. When you're playing with four people, that's the main thing, playing with four people. Like, that's your Radar, right? If you're communicating properly,
mm-hmm.
And know some of your, even if they're kind of bland callouts, backseat, right? Somebody should know where backseat is, if that makes sense. You're spotting them essentially with your Radar. If you don't have one, he's either on a flank or you just haven't gotten them yet. So I would prefer a short Radar. If not, I think they should go back to Radar. I think that's going to be better for the game, if that makes sense. If they don't do things like Cammy, so like the sound cues,
though I do think that no Radar should be maybe a rotating playlist occasionally. Doesn't have to be every other week, but I would like to see it return. Spooky Trials. It was a fun mix-up. Yeah. Maybe you didn't enjoy it, but it's only 1 week lost.
I'll say I really enjoyed Spooky Trials.
The spiders on your screen?
Oh, man. It was good times. So many shotgun kills. That said, I'm really not a big fan of no Radar as a constant thing, and it's actually... one of the things that has kept me from playing very much competitive in Destiny 2 for the last few months is I just don't enjoy a complete lack. And I guess I know that there are cues, certainly, that can tell you. And maybe it's I don't spend as much time in the playlists as some people that I play with. So maybe I don't have time. Maybe I haven't been able to learn those cues as well as I should.
Do you play solo?
Which is an excuse.
With a friend or a team?
So I solo queue a lot. especially the last couple of months, which is just, it's just life circumstances. I play during the day mostly. I don't play at night as much, and all my friends play at night. So
understood.
You know, it happens. It'll change back eventually here.
That's the big negative of No Radar, which is having your teammates to listen to is giant.
Yeah.
And that's your radar, just like
Cool Guy said. I think more players would be comfortable, because there's a lot of solo queues in comp, and I see them a lot. And I think if they had that radar, they'd feel a little bit more comfortable. And I think that that needs to be taken into consideration as well with No Radar versus Radar, because a lot of players do solo queue or just solo queue with a friend. Mm-hmm. And if they had that radar, they feel like they could probably help their team a little bit more. And if you're with a team of three and you're the random, you need to be the random, right? You need to just realize that. You need to move with them, go with them, push with them, and help them out. Because I find a lot of solo queue players with no radar, they'll either try to flank constantly and completely get destroyed every time. Because if you're playing against a competent team, they're not going to let you do that.
Yeah.
You might get one every now and then, but most of the time, I mean, it's going to be 90-10 of you dying.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I definitely am a big believer. When you're this, when you're the blueberry, like, know that you're the blueberry and don't be the blueberry. Like,
yeah,
I'm with you on that. If you're solo queuing, just realize that your teammates are not mind readers. So the best thing you can do is to make their job easy.
Yeah,
be predictable, and that may mean you're predictable to the enemies, but at least you're predictable to your teammates. The better shot will win.
Yeah, that's been a big. You know, since I started playing solo almost exclusively in PvP, one of the biggest things I've been trying to focus on is, even if I know that we need to be like playing control in quick play, even if I'm like, okay, we really need to be pushing for A on this map because they're rotating the other way, we can get a free capture and we need to get back on the board. But mm-hmm. all of my team is going the other way.
Gotta go with the team.
I'm going to go with the team. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go and I'm going to try to support their position. I'm going to try to find somewhere where I'm, you know, getting an angle on the people that they're drawing without exposing myself and getting a free kill for the other team. You know, it's like
mm-hmm.
you have to realize that you're the only one who's not in on the communication.
Exactly.
And I think that, you know, I think that is the big problem with No Radar right now. Is like you said, there are a lot of people who solo queue in Destiny. And without being automatically put into chat, you know, and with a lot of people using party chats as well, rather than the game chat, you know, when you're in party chat, you don't have that game chat. So even if somebody jumps into the channel, you'll never even know.
That's one of the benefits of PC. If you do happen to solo queue, you pull up Fireteam chat, you type in discord.gg/cammycakes, whatever your Discord is, and say, join up. Let's do this. This other team's fantastic. We're going to need to communicate. And a lot of the time, it'll happen, and I don't think it's just because I'm a content creator. I think it's genuinely because the other person realizes, yeah, we probably need to communicate.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome that you can do that. And that is, you know, PC has a lot of advantages in a variety of areas that... I'm super SMG jelly recoil. Of hand cannons, man. I loved hand cannons in Destiny 1, and I don't love them as much in Destiny 2. But I hear so many good things about them on PC.
Yeah, there is definitely a difference. Even from going controller on PC just to console, the frames make it so much smoother.
Yeah.
And I'm not like PC Master Race, but you can't deny that there's definitely a difference.
Glaring.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's a technical difference. It's just science. Mm-hmm. Can't get upset about it. yeah. So that's interesting. So we've kind of got, I think we've kind of got a spectrum of viewpoints there, though. If they were to keep the No Radar in competitive, let's just go with that scenario. Assume that they are committed to the hilt, as they occasionally are.
Mm-hmm.
I
like that because the hilt is so effective without radar since it puts you third person.
Yeah, and they've already said it's for the season, right? So no matter what we mm-hmm. say or what we talk about, like this season's going to be no radar, but
yeah,
that's not to say it couldn't change.
Yeah, Forsaken will be season 4, so who knows?
So our feedback right now will affect us for another season. Just keep that in mind, listeners.
Yes. So let's say that again, to reiterate the joke, they're committed to the hilt, to No Radar, and they're like, okay, season four of Forsaken, it's 100% going to be No Radar and Comp. Just deal with it. What could they do to make that more welcoming to solo queue players, or to players maybe who don't have a great sound system and have trouble telling where a sound cue is coming from in the game? You know, what could Bungie do, do you think, to, is it just making the cues louder?
I don't think it's louder. There's been some very clever solutions. Like when you pop a super and you walk, it creates a little arc or void footsteps. And
yeah.
Okay, sure.
If you're trying to track an enemy super on more than just sound, you look at the floor and say, a clue! You know. So more things like that.
I'm going to talk about map design real quick. Right? Oh, so Forsaken's coming. I'm going to come at, all right, so they said it's going to be 6v6. This is my worry, right? The maps need to start catering to 6v6, mm-hmm. right? I'm talking like your Widow's Courts, right? But if they do that, imagine a Widow's Court 4v4, No Radar. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So big maps, I'm always going to go back to that. Just big maps, or First Light, right? 6v6, like something like that would play really well in Destiny 2, I think, a big map like that. But if they make more of like javelin type maps, those are really good for competitive maps. I like those in 4v4. But if they're going to start catering to 6v6, they got to make the maps a little bit bigger. And if they're going to make them a little bit bigger, maybe Radar is the way to go again, to put it back on. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think you've got a good point. I mean, I would love to see a map on the order of First Light in Destiny 2. I think it would really shake up the loadout choices for some people. You know, I think you might actually see a little bit, like, one thing I never really see, except just recently I've started getting hit with Darcy now and then, but I almost never get sniped in Destiny 2. It just does not happen, at least not on console. You know, again, I can't comment elsewhere, but I don't
see
it.
Why snipe when you can use the colony? Come on.
I mean, that's the question, yeah. But, you know, I think if we saw some more big map play, we'd see some of the scouts that don't get play.
True. Yeah.
We'd see some snipers getting used. We'd see, you know, a little bit of variation. You wouldn't be getting dropped by Antiope left and right. It wouldn't be all Antiope and Last Hope.
And then we see Empowering Rift and TOP.
Well,
joking. Like,
I
don't want to give
solve
you
all the world's problems. man, it just boy, thinking about that. Think about the new Solar Warlock super.
Oh yeah, what is it? 30% more damage with 100 health.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my.
The first true support class.
And it comes from the Warlock.
I mean, you had to see that coming. that'll be good, though. Hopefully that'll be a great way to stake a claim and communicate to my teammates, like, hey, look, they dropped their sword on that control point. Don't go there.
Exactly.
Let them.
I hope this doesn't turn into someone sending you an angry message. You be the healer. Like, no.
That was always the debate, though. Yeah, who's going to play the healer?
Oh, I'll play the healer anytime anybody needs me to. Like, I'll just default to that, and if someone else is, I'll switch. But anything for the W. But back to what we were saying about No Radar and how they can improve that. Definitely map design, what Cool Guy said. And not just in the way that the map's actually created, but the decisions for where to place power ammo, the objective, and those sorts of things to influence map movement.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if the objective is placed good, it's predictable where people move, and you have more game sense to work with. Go on,
if
cool
they
guys,
move certain areas of where power ammo is right now, maps will play completely differently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I wish they were more central.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think with Warmind especially, I've finally started seeing, like, just like casual teams in quick play actually playing heavy a little bit. I think Iron Banner with the power ammo kills to get the ornament has actually pushed people to remember that power ammo is a thing. Because before it was like I could just take it anytime I wanted to because nobody played it in quick play. That tells you the matchmaking level I'm at in quick play. But
I'll get shoulder charged off it.
I do a lot more now. I would get like people would come in sliding or shoulder charging to knock me off it. But I found especially like that would happen the first couple of times it dropped. But once you got a couple of minutes into the map, like people would seem to forget that it was a thing.
For sure.
And that doesn't happen now. Like people are finally starting to play it. So you're 100% right. If they move that, that definitely would change the game. Now, are you talking about, like, do you think they should be making it more an objective that you're, that's more central, that's really pushing or driving the conflict?
It depends on the game mode.
Yeah.
Okay.
For Countdown, for instance, I'd like to see experimentation with one centralized power ammo, sort of like survival, mm-hmm. rather than one on each side of the bomb, so that you can have sort of even spacing between where you send teammates. If you send two on one side, one in the middle, and one to the bomb side, the one in the middle could have power, and so he's worth more than a single person because he has power ammo if he gets it. So this sort of might play to a different map flow and maybe might stop the standard strategy of send four people in one direction because not only do they have the bomb, but they also have power.
Right. All the eggs in one basket.
And whatever mm-hmm. just will push along more movement. And the issue with it being directly in mid, like, I do wish it was more central, but we'll take Javelin. It's an easy map to remember. Like, it's literally in back A and back C.
Right.
Right, most of the time. So, but if you make it central, what will happen there is one team is just going to be dominant. They're going to hold central position, and they're just going to have power ammo all the time. But if they moved it closer, right? Let's say, well, it's really hard without seeing the map. Our Midtown, it's in the back of both spawns. That's another easy one to remember. But if they put, let's say, most of the bricks right in that little center area, right? Mm-hmm. Say they put one on each side.
Right, not the edges of the map, but like 20% in.
To the point that you could make a push to steal it, but you've got a more meaningful decision to make about your strategy then.
Correct.
Yeah, I like that. I'd like to see those moved, because especially, and keeping in mind too, like a lot of the population is not necessarily thinking about that. They spawn in and they run toward wherever they see skulls. And I think, I think maybe if they spawn in and they see, okay, I've got teammates here, but there's power over there, it maybe sparks like, okay, now I have to make a decision.
Yeah, that's one of the big things. They're so far in the back, and usually the spawn system will either put you there, right, in the back of the map, or like in a mid area.
Yeah.
So, since it's so far in the back, you have to basically just go all the way right to get power ammo because it's way back there, and then you come into the fight. And by the time, usually they're dead and they're spawning with you. But if they made it a little more central as you're going to an objective, or as you're going to a choke point or a lane, I think that would just help out the game flow tremendously.
Yeah, kind of keep pushing people to move into those areas where they're actually going to be encountering an enemy. I think that would be a great change to see in Forsaken. See some adjustments to the existing maps in addition to some new maps to kind of support the playstyle that they've decided they want to support.
I'm excited about all the changes, man. I was actually thinking about it the other day. What bows are going to do, right?
Oh, yeah.
Bow and arrow. That's going to be so awesome. There's going to be a lot of opportunity to run numerous loadouts, I think, man. I don't think it's going to settle down to...
Oh, the honeymoon period is going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And that's honestly my favorite part of Destiny is when a new DLC comes out because everybody's using new guns. It's just a little bit more relaxed, I think.
Yeah.
Eventually, I mean, the meta's going to come, right? But I think with this meta, it's going to be, especially with buffing other exotic weapons, other exotic gear, maybe in armor they start doing things like Grenadier, or like when you get a kill you get more grenade energy. They put some good perks on some stuff. I think there's a lot of weapons that could really start shining.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm really excited to get some insight into with Forsaken. I can't wait for them to start talking about what they're going to do with perks and mods for weapons and armor both. Because there's such a huge opportunity there. It's just not something they've taken advantage of yet. So I'm really excited to see them do something with the mod system to make it really meaningful. In armor perks as well, and honestly, I kind of hope that they do some tinkering with the weapon perk system and kind of either weed out. Honestly, I really just hope they weed out some of the duds. I don't even want to see them changed at this point. I want to see more of the perks that people like. I'd be fine with seeing some more new perks, as long as they're going to have a real effect on the game. Like, I'm less excited about here's 5 points of stability and 2 extra bullets.
Some of those. All right, so I like some of the neutral game perks. Like, I loved Battle Runner in Destiny 1. I loved Battle Runner. It's kind of like what the Tractor Cannon does now.
That should have been the Mida Catalyst.
I'm telling you, right?
And for those of us who don't remember, what was Battle Runner again?
Essentially, you'd get a kill. It was on shotguns. Was it on primaries?
It was on primaries.
Yeah, it was on primaries. It was. I had an all fate with it.
Yeah.
So you get a kill, and it basically puts your character, when you're walking, it puts them in a sprinting animation. So in Destiny, imagine a 9 mobility, sprinting left and right. You just move faster, or like a dragon shadow right now, if any hunters are listening. Because when you shade, you get this big increase to your movement. So basically, you can walk around with a shotgun, but you're sprinting with it. And all your ADS coming out of, quote, sprint is just a lot faster. So I like things like that, especially in Destiny 2. Grenadier would be a huge perk in Destiny 2.
Oh, it'd be massive.
It'd be massive. It'd be sought after, especially with some of these weapons. Okay, this one has explosive rounds. Better Devils is good, but a Grenadier Better Devils to get that grenade energy up, especially if you're running a Shinobus or you're running something like that, I think it'd be really good. So the neutral game, I hope they bring some of those back. I think neutral perks like that are good if they make them good. I'm not necessarily a fan of Grave Robber. I know Cammy likes it a little bit.
I was going to say, D2's shifted up some perks. The D1 perks existed in D2. Some are top tier now, whereas they were the worst in D1.
But then again, I still think Kill Club's the best perk in the game.
Oh, definitely.
If you could put that on anything, I don't know. I don't know what I'd do. I'd be very happy. But, is there space in this world for Luck in the Chamber?
I don't think so. Well,
because if they do Luck in the Chamber, they do Hawkmoon, right? They almost have to.
I think right now there's space in the exotic area for that on the right gun. I don't think they could put it on just anything, but I think the way that they're trying to push exotic weapons to where you kind of get that randomly super effective, or not randomly, but occasionally super effective on a lot of them, take Sturm and Drang, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you're going out, and Drang is really usable for a sidearm that isn't an Omalon adaptive. It's, if you're smart and you're hopping and crouching and playing your angles, you can easily go out and pick up some kills with it. I struggle a little bit more with Sturm. Part of that is console, and part of it is I just haven't had the practice with hand cannons in Destiny 2 because they haven't felt super good. But when you can go and two-tap somebody, or when you can two-tap several people in a row,
it feels good, man.
It's insanely powerful. But only in limited quantities, right? You can't unless your skill level is so much above your opponent's that you were going to win no matter what weapon you used. You're not going to do it all the time.
Right.
But it's I think there might be room for Luck in the Chamber. Hawkmoon lets you play the odds really well.
I like to see what that thorn / rose weapon does. Because if it does have a burning effect, that I really hope that they open up the floodgates. That's where I'm getting with all of it. I think that they're doing a really good job with some of the changes, all these random slots that you can put different weapons in, and they're going to bring back random rolls. But it depends on how they do that with the mod system, what perks they're going to allow on certain weapons. Because, I don't know, I really like the 720 ARs. I use it as a bridge, as an SMG. So there's that new Iron Banner, the Dark Decider, with high caliber rounds. Things like that, if you can get kill clip on those and just good base stat weapons, you can start putting the perks that you want. I think that's really good for the game. But it depends on how far they want to go. And Luck of the Chambers, really, in my opinion, that would be, okay, they're either going to do this all the way or they're not, if that makes sense.
I'm torn on Luck in the Chamber. On one hand, you can't really have a competitive environment with randomness.
Correct.
But on the other, it sort of seems that the community doesn't want competitive. So why not go full on this, open the floodgates, and turn Destiny into something fun? So I'm not playing Quick Play Grand Finals every match.
Or maybe have it work like that. Maybe the Luck in the Chamber is triggered by getting a kill with the kinetic weapon or the energy weapon to kind of charge it, kind of like you do with Sturmager. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily as simple as like, oh, did they bring back Luck in the Chamber exactly as it was?
Yeah.
But I think that there might be room for it if they implemented it in a way that that kind of fit with the current balance level. Or, you know, again, they might be dropping primary time to kill in Forsaken.
That's another thing to really consider too.
They've got Mercules doing gameplay testing right now, and I know he wants to see it go down a touch. So, you know, I don't know how much influence one man has at a company that size and a game this big, but there are definitely going to be some voices inside and certainly some voices outside who have been pushing for that for a long time. But I know that's not the only viewpoint either, and I know they try to listen to as many people as possible.
Well, I hope nobody's making a case for Guerrilla Fighter. They're like, we've heard your concern. Guerrilla Fighter is now in the loot pool on all weapons. Like, what?
Man, speaking of perks that needed to be weeded out.
I want old school Take an E to come back.
Yes, they nerfed it in D1. That's the only skillful perk.
Oh, I love taking.
But I feel like maybe with a Zim or something, maybe there was some sort of bending the rules that could happen with it. So I see it. But at the same time, nothing was more satisfying than that no scope, knowing that you aim for it yourself. No aim assist.
All right. Take a knee, Darkest Before. Be awesome.
I did. I think I actually might have put up a video that nobody watched about this. But I got a sniper that had Guerrilla Fighter and Take a Knee in Destiny 1.
You're good. You're gold. It's endgame.
conflicting perks.
I learned they cannot trigger them simultaneously.
No, yeah.
I was so disappointed. I was like, it's going to be all of the aim assist, man. I could just shoot at the sun and it'll hit you. Yeah, no, it didn't work. Didn't work at all.
But that time to kill is essentially tied to shot delay, right? So the hand cannons are 4, and in Destiny 1, there were 3. Well, depending, we'll say, you know, your 140s, 150s, right? We'll talk about hand cannons.
Sure.
So it doesn't really matter what the damage is, as long as it equates to a three shot, right? Because 0.87 seconds, that's how long it takes to get 3 shots out. Doesn't matter what the damage is, right?
Mm-hmm.
That time to kill is really what matters. So I honestly believe, and I wouldn't be opposed, I don't think really any competitive player or even casual player would be opposed, is if you hit your headshots, you get your desired fast time to kill. So if they made it 2 headshot, 1 body, I'd be okay with that. Maybe if they up the precision modifier to where 3 headshots will get, you know, that 0.87 TTK instead of doing the basic 4-shot kill, I think that's another route they could go.
I'm all for that. Knowing that special weapons are returning, I'm all for, let's just say, 150 RPM hand cannons, 3 shots to the head, that's a kill, 140s, 2 head, 1 body. And of course, pick like very, very smart, a range drop off for that, and headshot to body shot damages, differences. So certain guns have certain places in the meta, depending on the map, the team composition, whatever.
Right there.
Yeah, even... You know, I put myself pretty squarely in the average skill PvP bracket. I would love to see that kind of like, I'm totally fine if somebody can jump at me and land three headshots with a hand cannon, they deserve to kill me. I'm down with that. But it also, you know, it gives people something to strive for. More weapons. Yes, a skill gap is good for everybody.
Can we talk about 110 RPM hand cannons for a second? Those are the current ones that 3-tap. So if the TTK drops, what happens to those?
Are they one headshot, two body?
One headshot, two body? I still think, though, it's not worth it. Compared to, let's just say, high-impact pulses, which do that job a lot better.
Oh, the Relentless is so good. Use the Relentless, y'all.
Just use the Relentless. Don't use the 110. But maybe change the RPM. Make it a 2-tap. But like a 2-tap on low resilience. Yeah. I don't know. Just spitballing. All I know is that the 110s are going to be in a weird place if other weapons change.
They've always been either really high impact or really low impact. They've always been an odd place because they're probably the toughest to balance.
Yeah.
Because if something's shooting really fast, it has a fast TTK. There's no reason to... And if somebody hits really, really hard... I think that also depends on flinch, right? Mm-hmm. I've always been a fan of a really high-impact weapon hitting you so hard, but the doctrine of passing flinching you all over the place at 40 meters away...
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Right.
I wish it was more centralized to the actual impact of the weapon, of it pounding you, hitting you hard...
And not the RPM.
...compared to the RPM. If that gets changed, that all can happen, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it does.
The flinch versus impact like mismatch, the way it just doesn't quite make sense, is something that I think we've been trying to point out and probably complaining about on the show for close to a year. It doesn't make sense. Like I understand what happens. Like those high impact ones do flinch you more, but it's only for a moment, whereas the low-impact ones flinch you a lot less per shot, but when you've got 900 rounds per minute coming at your face, it adds up so fast. And it throws you all over the place.
Shake.
You end up, you know, the effect in-game is that a low-impact rapid-fire weapon is far more effective for flinch. I almost think a high-impact hand cannon or a high-impact scout should be knocking your aim off, not to the degree maybe that getting hit with a tether does, but I think it should feel, you know, more in that direction. If somebody hits you with a headshot with a hand cannon, you should be looking for cover.
Right. I mean, flinch is definitely the reason that high impact struggle a little bit, but I'm on team high impact scout. Polaris Lance is killing it right now for me. The Trials scout is killing it for me. And it's because as long as you hit two headshots, you can follow it up with two body shots.
Motion to compel, yeah.
It's like having a Dire Promise that can shoot across the map, but you have to deal with Zoom close quarters, which isn't great, but I think it's learnable. And once you learn that, they really shine.
Nice, yeah. I've not heard a lot of people saying good things about the scouts. So it's good to hear that.
Because Graviton overshadows.
I mean, yeah. it's hard to put the Graviton down, especially since I have the Catalyst now. Like, I feel like I have to play with it 24/7 just to get that finished.
So that means you're going Future War Cult next, right?
Oh, gosh. I'm going Future War Cult next, too.
Yeah. We need that sidearm, guys. That's
I want the sidearm,
so
but I did Future War Cult last time. So
I did, too.
Does that mean people who did Dead Orbit last time get the sidearm this time?
I think it does,
Oh, that is so unfortunate. I should have went Dead Orbit. I made a mistake.
Mistakes were made.
Sunshot's really good, though.
Yeah.
It's like when you realize you left the oven on.
but like Crimson, Crimson's a good example of what flinch can do to you with high impact and fire rate.
Yeah. Yes.
The Crimson deals and receives really well, if that makes sense. A lot of times, even with ARs, man, Crimson will throw you off, dude. I just think when it comes to the basic instance of a gunfight, flinch is huge.
It is.
And it's one of those things that I've always felt should be more of a careful eye with certain weapons, whether it be actual flinch versus actual screen shake, because there is a difference. of where it's throwing your shot, where it's throwing your view kick, essentially.
Yeah.
And the fast firing ones, man. Antiope's another one that'll put you all over the place.
Oh yeah.
So.
I don't even challenge a Crimson just because of that.
It's for that reason is why I've been using it. Of course, it's really good with the Catalyst, right? It's got a long. It's 34 meters, yes. By the way. That's how long that one is. And even at 35, or 36, 37 meters, you're still getting 22 damage, which is strong.
Yeah.
But the Crimson's probably the perfect example right now of what a high impact can do with a fire rate.
Yeah.
It does more than the Relentless from what I tested. It's just very strong.
It's a phenomenal gun. That's another one that you could pick up and never put down, and
yeah,
your life would not be worse for
I'll
it.
Tell you about the nightmare fuel. So there was this rapid fire glitch going around, and with high impact guns, you could see what would happen if they were fast RPM. It's terrifying. It's like having a better version of the last word, if you can imagine that, in God. D2.
Maybe I'll stay on console.
Yeah, that was my thoughts too. It's like, the game is ruined. Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Maybe I don't want to know.
Rapid fire everyone.
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine. Like, we had this this Destiny Pod Clash kind of friendly tournament last weekend, and there were definitely some teams that came in that were, like, you could tell they played comp together on a regular basis, and there were there were some teams like mine, we had some solid PvP players, we don't play together, and so we did well in the first round, and we got trashed in the second round, and boy, you could see the difference in, like, taking Crimson out, I was really able to make some people hurt in the survival round with Crimson. I think I know I double downed in the first, 30 seconds with it.
It's great weapon,
it's so
especially
powerful.
With the Worm Husk.
Because you're taking fire, but you get that first kill and you're back in the game.
Yes, and then you can help your team.
Refilled mag.
But then I think the same thing happened to us the next time around. So you can feel it both ways, and it kicks. Like, if you get the first shot, you're golden. But Crimson versus Crimson, I don't think you want to be the second shooter. It did not go well for me.
Yeah.
But I can just imagine. I guess where I'm going with that is I can just imagine if it shot even faster than it does.
Yeah, with no delay. Yeah, terrifying.
They talked about that.
She shoots like a last hope.
Like
last hope.
Oh
Crimson.
My gosh. They talked about that in the dev commentary on it. That they kind of put some extra frames in between each shot, to make it a little chunkier, to make it feel like a hand cannon and not like last hope.
Yeah.
But yeah, my God, if it was shooting last
that actually
hope,
balanced
what it,
did, it
would be insane.
It balanced it quite nicely though, extending the burst like that
job.
Because it doesn't work like a traditional hand cannon or a traditional pulse rifle.
Yeah.
You have to commit to the shot on a peak shot.
Oh yeah.
And so then that gives you a interesting dilemma on what do you want to use for your energy weapon.
What is it? I mean, what is that? 72 chunk damage on a peak? Like, that's huge.
It is. But you have to commit to it, same as the V-Wing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no in and out. You look and you're there for the encounter, at least for the first couple shots.
Which is why it's kind of cool to go Lucky Pants, since it is a hand cannon. You get quick draw on it. You go two hand cannons. One for peaking, Crimson for the final shot.
That's one thing I'm excited for with mods, is if I'm able to, if it doesn't come with it, putting on a snapshot or a quick draw on a weapon. Because I've messed around with some clunky weapons with the Ophidians or the Dragon Shadow, man. And I would 100% put a quick draw or snapshot on certain weapons, dude. I don't know. I'm excited for what they do with all that.
I think everybody who misses using snipers from Destiny 1 probably is hoping that they do something like that with mods.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, man.
Because there are so many snipers that it's like, man, like, and I'm not even that big of a sniper. Like, I think it's fun to do once in a while. But yeah, they aren't responsive enough right now. You can't, you got to be fully committed to using that sniper. It's not a backup choice. It's not a, I peeked this hallway and there's somebody at the other end, I'm going to swap.
Yep.
So, yeah, if they go that route, I think, And that would be something I'd love to see, even as much as I raged at people who were far better at quickscoping than I ever was. I wouldn't mind seeing snipers at least have a place in the game more than they do now, because I think that's one of the power weapon slots where people are, I don't know if Bungie's scared to put it in because it was so strong for so long, if they're scared to make them good again.
It's flinch, dude.
Is it flinch?
I think it boils down, it's flinch. You get kicked way too hard.
Yeah.
Even like they said they nerfed that a little bit, right?
They did. It was like a scope issue or something.
It's still.
Yeah, it does kick hard.